obviously really stupid and everybody hates them for it, this is it.
I have such sights to show you.
It's finally that time of the week again, once more, for the most horrific, jam-packed hour of horror we can fit in one episode. I'm Zach, and I'm your host for the next hour, and our last hour of this expedition we've known as Horny Horror Hour. As always, thanks for listening. Glad to have you with us for one more time. We're going to be chugging along today really quickly and getting right into it, because we're covering The Thing from John Carpenter in 1982. And we have more than a boatload of information to dump on you in this icy horror classic. So to get into the mood, take it all off. All your outerwear, all your jackets, your sweaters, jump in a bathtub, fill that sucker up with cold water. And are you guys ready for this? Dump some large granular ice cubes into that bath boy and get ready to shiver into The Thing with us. Mm. Are y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Good. Okay, but before we do, as hinted last week, we have a very special guest today, a guest that's very close to our dead hearts, and the only person we wanted to have on to wrap everything up with us. The prodigal host returns, the scythe is back on the table, the demon is screaming, the scribe is back with the tribe. Scribe of Satan, how you doing? How's life?
I'm back, baby! Woo!
We've missed you.
I've missed y'all. Man, it's good to be back. It's like I'm home again.
I know.
How have you been?
I've been so good. You know, good. Hell, torturing, things like that.
Wonderful. You mentioned before, to get in a little bit of horror, you saw Us. What do you think about it?
I did see Us.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs 45 degree angle up.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yes. So 80% on the horny scribe scale.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome, awesome. Well, we are very happy that you're back with us.
I'm glad to be back, man. I missed y'all.
I missed you.
It's pretty boring down there.
Yeah,
it's pretty going on.
It's pretty boring up here.
So I heard.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. The Notre Dame Cathedral burnt down.
Yeah, that was.
Was that your daddy?
That was me. I'm sorry.
Luckily, the frame is still going to be able to be manipulated to look like a church, because we glorify a church in our weird culture that likes buildings and architecture.
Yep.
Aside from that, thanks for coming on.
I'm just glad to be here.
And Ash, how are you this week?
I am fresh, rejuvenated from my beach trip. I am happy to be here.
Welcome back.
It was wonderful.
You went to Panama City?
No.
PCB, baby.
I just went coastal, like Jekyll, St. Simons, all that. It was fun. We had the beach to ourselves and the dogs.
Did the doggies?
Yeah.
I bet they loved that, huh?
There was one weird thing. One night we went out on the beach and it was nighttime. And like, I didn't know jellyfish do this, but
bioluminescence.
They have a purge system. Basically,
one day a year.
Like the movie.
It's fucking weird because we went out there at night and there was like thousands of dead jellyfish on the beach.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. And it's like a natural cycle that they do. It's where they like kill off. So there was all these fucking dead jellyfish, and I didn't realize what it was, and then the dog started running up to him, and they're like, what's this? And I'm like, oh my fuck, that's a jellyfish. Yeah. They're like fat motherfuckers.
Whoa.
But they're dead, so it was fine.
That's me too.
And then they went away. It was cool.
You're just causing all the pain so far.
I needed a quick snack
so
on the way back.
Much.
Yeah, no problem.
And Macias, what's going on with you? Who's eating your grapes this week, and how do you feel?
No one's eating my grapes this week. I feel great.
They're missing out. You have great grapes.
I got this wonderful compliment from my nephew the other day.
Please, what was it?
I was telling him about my plans for eating healthier to lose some weight, and he said, T.T., you don't need to lose weight. You look just like a xenomorph.
Oof. Like, that was the best compliment
ever. The most legendary compliment
alien
I've ever
queen.
Received.
Yeah. You look great.
The alien queen is always glowing.
Yeah.
You know, in the control of the hive mind, taking everyone down to the predator showdown room.
And our hive hearts, which is more important.
No.
It's very true.
Well, in the fashion of getting back to our roots, Scribe of Satan, I believe you have a big old cauldron over there that you've just been begging to dip into.
I've been cooking these up for months, and now I'm ready to dish them out to you guys.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. And this is probably, end of the podcast themed.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and the podcast theme, I try to get some questions that kind of encapsulates, you know, we're at the end of the journey. How do you guys feel looking back? Well, let's just dive in and we'll kind of see what the the theme of the questions here. So out of all the movies that we watched, which one took you by surprise the most?
Terrifier.
Oh. Terrifier.
Terrifier. Why that?
Because it was fucking great.
It was great, and it wasn't, we were not expecting it to
low
be.
Low budget.
It was low budget. It was, but
nobody.
It was so scary, so creepy, so gory.
Best gore.
And yeah, I've been wanting
cut
to rewatch it.
Cut a woman in half from her vagina.
Yeah.
That was
from
dope.
Her vagina through her skull.
Wasn't
some
that a Silent
Hill shit?
It was a fan
it was
pick,
a fan
too,
pick
I believe.
Too,
yes, thank you, fan.
That's
that
wild.
Was fucking great.
I remember awesome. I told someone at work about that, and I was like, hey, you should watch this horror movie. And she was like, oh, what is it? I'm like, oh, Terrifier. She texted me like halfway through, and she's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's not for the
yeah.
faint of heart.
Not,
no,
you added yourself as a
heart.
Horror fan to your work, fam.
Yeah, I would also think that what this is about the surprises, right?
Yeah.
Good, and bad.
Good or bad?
Wishmaster is an awful fucking movie.
Yeah.
I overrated. Is that a surprise?
Yeah.
Not?
No.
I guess we should have known, but it was, woof, that was terrible.
Wishmaster, Puppet, all the fucking masters.
Yeah. Is there a good movie with the name Master in
no.
it?
No.
The Master?
The Master, maybe? Tiger Woods just won the Masters.
Wah, yeah. Wah, wah.
Yeah. Also bad.
Yeah, also interesting.
Thank you.
There you go.
I've been saying that all day.
Another surprise I thought was that I didn't realize there was such a large gap between really great horror movies and really shitty horror movies.
Oh, don't you dare say the 90s.
No, I wasn't going to because I love Jacob's Ladder, which is a 90s
Fair.
Movie.
I think Zach is saying that it's either really good or really bad, or are you saying that there's a time gap?
No, I'm saying like you get a lot of times people think The Exorcist, The Thing, Alien, Jaws are like the best horror movies, and I always thought that was like a cliche answer and people should dig into the indie movies. They kind of are some of the best horror movies.
Yeah.
For a reason.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Fair.
And movies like Hereditary that have come out are great to see a return to like a higher standard of horror.
Yes.
Yeah. True so, that. Yeah. Preach, baby.
Yeah. I think when you have those types of horror that are so prolific and then you have like kind of like a dry spell, it's just you're seeing all the copycats that are trying to be the next Exorcist or be the next Jaws instead of being whatever it is that, you know, the next Hereditary or whatever the next big one will be. So we talked about surprises, but what movie scared you the most?
Paranormal Activity and Hereditary.
Hereditary,
I said Hereditary
really?
Too, yeah.
I think Paranormal hit me way harder than Hereditary.
Really?
Really.
Maybe because I watched it in a safe space with some friends. Paranormal Activity, I like torrented it off the internet when I was like in high school, like in my bedroom at night.
Yeah.
And I was scared of my...
With your sock.
Oh, yep. With my sock. Wow.
Yeah.
We're just bringing it all back this episode. Oh, yeah. Great. Love it. Glad to be
that's
here.
That's a B side.
Hereditary was just like awful gut pains. Like this is so fucking tragic.
Yeah. I feel like Hereditary gives you like night sweats because your dreams are nasty and rotten.
Yeah.
Whereas Paranormal Activity, when I'm awake and trying to go to sleep, I seriously, as a 28-year-old, didn't like that.
No.
You know?
No.
I don't know what it was. I'm surprised.
I love that we all said that, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Normal. Fuck that movie.
I like in Paranormal, I like the like primal fear that's involved.
Mm.
And in Hereditary, what hit me more than like the fear of like the unknown or things you can't see is the feeling of helplessness, which is kind of like the theme of the movie. But like, you're just fucked. Like, there's nothing you do, and you're done.
Yeah.
I think the scene where his mom is going into the car to see the decapitated daughter.
And you're just waiting.
Yeah.
That scene and then the morning scene with her, like, screaming on the floor wanting to die. That is probably...
That's more scary.
One of the hardest scenes to get through than like one of the...
Because it's realistic.
Yeah, it's realistic. It's very real. And even like, okay, you're going to get killed. You're going to get murdered. But like that true like, oh, my empathy. It hurt.
Trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Why do I have feelings?
Yeah, I don't want to feel right now. I'm here to like be scared. I don't want to be sad.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Toni C for a great performance.
Oh, Toni Collette, you have my
heart. Toni Collette is a queen.
She is a motherfucking queen.
I love her so much.
Yes.
Award-winning actress.
Yes.
She is the new... I'm sorry. I don't know this woman's name. What's the girl from The Shining?
You're talking about...
Olive... Oh,
Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall. Yes.
Thank you so much. Shelley Duvall. I got a very big Shelley Duvall vibe from Toni Collette.
Yeah.
With that, like, she's kind of losing her mind in a way.
Did you ever see Shelley Duvall do Brady Bunch? That shit was really funny.
Really?
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
You can take that out.
69.
Oh, so good.
Right now.
She plays mom.
She doesn't look very good.
Oh, well,
I still love her. I wish her the best.
I'd like to see you at 69. Okay.
You want to see Zach 69?
No.
Yeah.
You can arrange that.
I mean, I could watch. I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
Why not?
We'll talk later. so let's keep the ball rolling here. So I want to talk about Origins of Horror. We're talking about how we felt about the podcast and movies we saw that. But let's step further back. And what was the first horror movie that you ever saw? You know, when I was a kid, I think the first one that I saw was Jaws.
I think
my mom
so too.
Let me see on like TV, like, oh, check this out. This is some scary shit. Is it Jaw or Birds? And like, what is this
Ooh,
garbage?
Birds was great.
Still haven't seen any Hitchcock movie.
That is fucking blasphemy.
I know. We'll fix that. Okay. At some point.
We need
the Jaws,
to.
I think, was mine too. First one.
What about y'all?
I think the one I remember is I Know You Did Last Summer. Just from like me having like an actual memory of
so
it.
Good.
Me and Macias saw that together. Yeah. And you said
classics, Creature from the Black Lagoon and Wolfman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How old are you?
My grandpa introduced like, me. Oh, he's 67. Like, hey, check this shit out. This is cool. And I'm like, what?
This shit's crazy.
It was good when I was like fucking eight.
Yeah, when you were a kid. Sure.
Softcore.
Yeah.
Softcore. Okay, so softcore. One more general question, just kind of encapsulating everything that we've seen. We've seen hours upon hours of horror movies. Do you think that seeing all of this horror and murder and gore, do you think that has desensitized you to real life scary situations? Maybe you're walking back to your car after a long night, or do you think that makes you more anxious because you're aware of things that could happen?
Depends on the situation.
I'm more aware of things, I think. I think it makes me more scared, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing all the stuff that could happen and all that.
Yeah.
But,
so,
like, you
sure.
also know not to run up the stairs.
Yeah, but now I feel like I'm equipped with life skills.
Yes.
This is true. You know what not to do.
Yeah, exactly. Always run zigzag in front of a bullet, although I don't know if that's really horror. But zombie movies will teach you
yes.
that.
True.
No, I mean, I'm a little more desensitized, but in certain situations, I think my horror, like, brain gets flagged, and I start thinking of everything I need to do potentially in a situation. Yeah.
Do I still leap off the bed in the middle of the night? Absolutely. Do I check the shower? Of course.
Oh, check the shower.
You know,
every
like,
noon
you
with all my
know.
Friends in the house, I will check behind the shower curtain.
I shower the glass.
I check the closets when I get home from work.
As you should.
What? I do.
Really?
Yes.
What would you do if you checked the closet and someone was there, though?
I would fucking puff my chest and fucking clock them in the face.
Well, you took boxing, so that's true.
I would be prepared. Yeah.
I mean, it's better to, I don't know, I'd rather just encounter it than like live with the fear of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Fair.
I think I've just always been on edge.
Yeah.
But now certain things happen, like walking back to my car and I notice something odd and it peaks like, this happened in a horror movie once, and then my brain is there. You know,
yeah.
maybe I'll be going through my daily monotony, like I need to do this, I need to go by the grocery store, and then I'll see something a little bit strange, and I switch into like, okay, I'm about to get murdered. What do I need to do now? Like,
yeah.
But it makes you think.
Yeah, it makes you think. So maybe it's better to be a little anxious and be prepared in that sense.
Yes.
Instead of just being generally anxious, what do I do? No, I've seen all these movies, and I know what works and what has not mm-hmm. worked and what are good actual ideas that I gain from this.
We're winning, guys.
And
yeah.
I think it's led into our theory for a long time that horror movies create the most informed fans. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
So.
Like the smartest fans. It's not some rom-com bullshit that doesn't leave you with anything other than the good feelings. I'm probably speaking for myself at this
and
point.
And unrealistic expectations.
Of relationships that never happen.
True.
Don't have sex.
Don't
have
sex.
Don't do drugs.
What's sex?
I know. Don't drink and drive.
Yep.
You're going to hit someone and probably going to come back for you.
Yep.
Be nice to people.
Yeah.
Love that.
Never know when that's going to come back around.
Yeah.
You know, like in any of the movies where they get the wrong direction and they could have gotten the right direction if they had been nice.
Don't stop at the gas station.
Don't stop at the creepy gas station with that man sitting outside.
But also, don't let yourself run out of gas.
No.
Very important.
Bring an extra tank, you stupid.
In the mountains? Are you crazy? Hell no.
Yeah. Take an airplane to Las Vegas. Don't go to the backwoods.
You don't. It's stupid.
Yeah. But to get into our horror example this week, and one that I'm really excited to, we are going to jump into the synopsis with Ash. Can you lead us into everything? We're just going to do kind of a free form of what happened. We've seen it a million times. I know you've probably seen it as well. It starts off with a spaceship.
Okay.
A really shitty looking spaceship.
See, I always ignore that part because I
forgot it was alien stuff. I haven't seen this forever.
Yeah.
This is probably the first horror movie that I saw in theaters.
Really?
My dad took me to the theater at the Marietta Square.
What?
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
They had it showing there, and my dad was like, he didn't
die.
Exactly. Literally that, like, it's time for you to man up and see some, you know, stop watching all this sissy cartoon shit.
Did you like it?
I, you know what? Watching it now, I love it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the movie, but then I was so scared I did not grasp any of the plot. Like, literally, I did not remember any of this happening.
I mean, it's fucked up.
It is super fucked up.
Yeah.
Dad, just let me watch Naruto. I don't want to do this shit.
Yeah.
I like to ignore that cheesy, like, spacecraft scene and
cut
just
that.
Cut it. It's just bad.
You get what you need from like the following plot. Like you see the spaceship, you don't, which is still pretty bad, but you see it later.
Basically, it's a bunch of like scientist dudes, Outpost 31 Antarctica, are doing some research, and then
there's a dog that keeps running up.
Yeah, and they're trying. Somebody's trying to shoot at a dog.
A Swedish helicopter is trying to kill
Norwegian.
A dog.
Oh, no, because something's wrong
just made
with
the dog.
Same
mistake because on purpose.
It is MacReady. No, that was a it's a good mistake. He made the same mistake in the movie.
Because something's wrong with the dog, but the dog gets infiltrated. Somehow the thing, like this thing, gets infiltrated into their outpost, and it starts taking over in the dogs that they have on there. And so this thing morphs into whatever it comes into. So first it starts with the dogs, and then it just starts going through the people. And so shit gets out of hand.
And you can't tell what it is it is because it's such a good assimilating agent.
Yes. Yeah. It's shifter. Like it morphs. Yes, it is a ship.
That's
shape,
the word.
Shape.
A shaper.
Two beers deep. So basically they're all just trying to live, but they get super paranoid with each other, which I love that dynamic. You can't
so
trust
good.
Anybody.
The scene at the end with them being tied up is delicious.
Yeah.
So pretty much everyone ends up dying off. Either they get murdered or they get torched. They get murdered. They all get torched.
Or killed by the thing.
Or get killed by the thing.
Windows got killed by the thing.
Being choked out like that would be too
turned
bad.
On. That scene. Whew.
I know. Yeah.
We'll get to it. So MacReady and
Childs
are the only people left. After they blow up everything, they're trying to blow up the camp. They know they're not going to survive. It's a suicide mission.
In the worst case scenario, the thing gets away. He freezes himself. The U.S. comes and rescues him, and it spreads. And I think the simulation on the computer of asking what happens if this virus, or not virus, alien were to get out, did the calculations. 27,000 days is around 3 years it would take to infect the whole world.
Yeah.
So that's the risk.
27,000 hours, I think it was.
Sorry, 27,000 hours is 3 years.
So they're trying to prevent the thing from burrowing into the earth and freezing itself and blow up the camp. And then at the end, you don't know, but maybe one or both of them have been infected.
Could be.
There is an alternate ending I would love to tell you about.
Oh, I want
to
hear about it.
Do you want to talk about it now? Might as well. Synopsis. Let's do it.
So the test audience didn't like that you couldn't tell if MacReady was good or not. So John Carpenter did an alternate ending where they show him in like this like military army clinic bullshit. And he's getting his blood drawn. So you know that he survived and he's not the thing.
Okay, cool. I also heard another alternative ending where you see both Childs, and MacReady are put into a helicopter, and you see some tentacles, and you realize both of them are the thing.
Whoa.
And they're going to, like, mainland, but people didn't like that because it's like, yo, dog, we don't want to, you know, don't want to see the whole world die.
I do know John Carpenter was very like, we're not going to use this unless we absolutely have to. Like
last ditch attempt.
Yeah, but he just was like, fuck no, we're not going to use it.
I would love like a 28 Days Later style movie of this thing just infecting everything.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
But everything would look the same.
No, wouldn't it be like totally morphing all the goddamn
time? Each monster was different,
Think about another, like a kitten. Think about a kitten getting involved in that shit.
Listeners at home, she's pointing at me and saying kitten.
That's right, baby.
I just mean that at some point in the world, half the population would try to be tricking the other half, and so it would look about the same once everyone assimilated, that you just wouldn't know who was who.
And you know? Do you think everyone would either, like, more people die from being murdered from paranoia or because of the thing?
Do you think more people died in this movie from paranoia or for being killed by the thing?
Ooh, snaps.
Think about it. Think about
question.
I think they're murdered.
None of us have done that math, so we're not ready with it.
Half and half.
We should totally do that math.
But I think it's probably, I want to say in the United States, all the guns we have, it would definitely be more paranoia than it would be.
Absolutely.
It's already paranoia right now.
Yeah.
I know, and there's no thing.
Yeah.
Clark was the only one to be killed that was still an alien, that was still human.
No, Windows was killed by the thing, but I guess that's not paranoia.
He wasn't infected, though.
Right,
he
was
there
infected.
There was those two during the test that did not, that were dead, but
they
were
got
not.
Killed by the thing.
Yeah. Wait, one was killed by the thing,
so
and
pretty
one,
much
yeah.
I think, so Clark was the only, like, human
the
on human.
The doctor, dude.
He got killed by the thing. I'm saying, well, okay, what I'm trying to say is the only human on human.
It's very killing. True. You're
that's
right.
That's fucking nuts. Most of them were killed human on human.
That's not true.
Yeah.
No. I'm saying the only human on human killed
was
killing
one.
Was Clark yeah. and MacReady.
Most of them, he had that scalpel.
Okay.
Shot him right in the head.
Okay. Yeah. So they were closer than they appeared.
But you're
to
also
be.
Talking about like one gun involved in this.
Very true.
Because there's only one gun that was used.
And lots of flamethrowers.
Lots of flamethrowers.
I love
throwers.
The
flamethrowers.
Just nice. At their disposal.
Yeah. I mean, they only have four guns, but they have fucking 15 flamethrowers somehow. So this movie, no matter how you want to spin it, it's a sci-fi fantasy flick. And some people argue this is more sci-fi fantasy than it is horror, and I was going to ask you guys what you think of which one supersedes the other. I obviously...
Sci-fi horror.
I think it's a combination of the both.
You have to include horror in there.
I agree. Yeah.
Absolutely. All the gore, this is not... I would say the fantasy.
Creature?
Whose fantasy is this? You're fucked up.
I mean, if I was in a VR situation and disconnected, I'd love to be in this fantasy.
No, thanks.
Is mm-hmm. that like a sex thing?
It could be.
Sounds okay. like it.
There's a bunch of dogs there. We talked about this earlier. That's not even what we talked about on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
fine.
Concerned how much you're talking about dogs.
Yeah, you brought
right
it
now.
Up. It's, you're the one I was concerned about when we were talking about it, too.
Oh, man.
Let's
get this
move
boy
on
some peanut butter.
That. Sci-fi horror we all agreed on. Aside from that, I think this movie can be classified really easily as one of the more critically acclaimed horror movies ever made.
Yes.
Ever made.
It's a classic. I think it's on most every list, and it's been referenced in almost any article you see about the essential horror movies you need to watch if you're a horror fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I think when we talk about all of this as we go on, you'll start to see why it is and what kind of caused the fame for it. But to start to dive into this movie, we have to look at one of our favorite horror directors, our favorite horror composer, a man, a legend, a little known macabre master known as John Carpenter.
Love Zach's life.
He's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and we've got him here, folks. Come on in, John.
I know. I wish that fucking stringy, long-haired man.
Oh, yeah.
Before he began this project. Yeah. Carpenter started with a small film called Dark Star in the 70s. We covered this a few weeks ago because on Dark Star was Dan O'Bannon, who was the writer for the movie. He also wrote the movie for Alien.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay,
he worked with Dan O'Bannon. From there, he went on to do Assault 13. On Precinct 13. Yeah. And eventually, that led to a bigger budget for John Carpenter's 1978 Halloween,
mm-hmm.
which was one of the... What?
Bigger, but still small.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that
Precinct
actually in budget.
Of 13 was smaller than Halloween and did really well, which I think led to Halloween.
They're like, I'll give you a like, couple more dollars.
Yeah, green yeah. lighting, which it wasn't yeah. a big budget. You're right. But it keeps basically ramping up. The next movie was Kurt Russell. He started working with when he was a young actor, not very famous, in a little known movie, Escape from New York, in 1981. And that takes us up to 1982, the year The Thing was released. So you might be asking yourself, why was Carpenter selected to direct The Thing? Especially with such a large budget for a horror movie. Horror movies, especially in that time, didn't get like that large of a budget, you know?
Right. I feel like he could just go, I did Halloween.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Exactly.
Walk away.
You're right. But
dust his hands off.
Before he could do The Thing, movie was
do
already
the damn thing.
Trying to be selecting directors in the mid-70s before
wow. oh,
Halloween
wow.
even came out. They looked at Tobe okay. Hooper.
Tobes.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They looked at him. He was interested. They looked at John Landis, American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
Which he might have been good for the transformations as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Fortunately for John Carpenter, they both were really not able to ever seal the deal for certain reasons. And the interest eventually died down in the late 70s until a little known movie called Alien came out and revitalized sci-fi horror.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think about it, because we covered the Alien 2 weeks ago, if you didn't have Star Wars that gave interest into sci-fi for Alien to be made, you wouldn't have had The Thing.
Yeah.
So Star Wars true. And George Lucas essentially created
Nerds
the pathway.
Nerds are good for something.
Yeah.
And nice. This scenario, very good for something.
Yeah.
Combine all of these great circumstances with his already great relationship with Kurt Russell, his lead man,
love
you've been working
it.
With.
Sexy.
His hair is wonderful.
Oof.
The first time his cinematographer, Dean Cundey, was given a big budget. He was the cinematographer for Halloween, did a really, really good job with the slasher vision.
Very mm-hmm. true.
And Carpenter's reverence for the 1951 classic, The Thing from Another Planet, which was... Basically, which we'll get into in a moment, that was a reiteration of The Thing from a novel. But Carpenter really, really liked that movie. And if you want to know how much he liked that movie, watch Halloween. the little kids in the movie are carving pumpkins to the thing from outer space before he knew he was going to do this movie.
Cool. Wow, on that's the TV. Wild.
Wasn't that H.P. Lovecraft, the novel?
It wasn't.
No?
No.
He didn't do space stuff.
I thought there was that was the inspiration for the thing.
No, it's a novella, which we'll get into in a second.
Okay.
But after coming onto the project, tragedy almost struck again when Carpenter was about to quit before filming because he wanted to do a movie called El Diablo, which I guess was a pet project he really was like keeping eyes on. And it ended up not being made until the early 90s. And Carpenter ended up being executive director or executive producer. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, El Diablo almost like pulled him off the thing, which is really weird to think about.
Was it any good?
Apparently it's cult classic, but I don't know about that. Not the thing classic. Before jumping into the writing of this movie and the writer, I wanted to quickly mention what makes Carpenter Carpenter and why he's such a renowned horror director and what kind of trends you get from him. What jumps off to me in most of his movies is he doesn't rely much on gore always. And maybe the thing is a poor example.
It's not a good example for it.
It is, but he generally relies on atmosphere, tone, and tension, which I think tension is a very large part of this movie.
That's done very well here, too.
His movies are generally slow burns, and this movie does show the thing a lot throughout, but it does culminate to
it
a very...
It takes a minute. The first time I ever watched it was with a group of people. It was like a bunch of my friends, and they're like, this is too slow, and they turned it off.
Yeah.
Which it is in the beginning, but like it ramps up pretty quickly.
And then you can't stop.
But it's really built on like that tense atmosphere. You're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Even in Halloween, you have like a slasher that's standing like in the middle of broad daylight, but like no one can see him because it's Halloween.
Right.
He uses a lot of wide shots. He was one of the first directors also to use a handycam vision, and that's being slasher vision, which you can see Halloween. And of course, his music is always on point in all of his
so
movies.
Good. Yeah. It was so good. Those strings.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Holla at Ennio Morricone.
That and John Carpenter himself. He didn't do the soundtrack for The Thing, but he's done soundtracks for most of his other movies. And he still tours on his Carpenter original music. Check out his Spotify page as a shout out because he's still fucking making great horror movies.
That's so fun.
I know, that's his thing now. So I feel bad shortening the next section because we're going to go from such a legend to, I'm not going to say this guy isn't a legend, but do you guys know who Bill Lancaster is?
No.
Yeah.
He's a writer for the movie. He ended up adapting Who Goes There, which was a novella that was based on that script. That was a novella that The Thing was based on.
Okay, I knew there was something to do with it.
It's also what The Thing from Another Planet was based on loosely. But The Thing will end up actually being very, very close to Who Goes There and not the 1951 movie.
Yes.
The 1951 movie ends with them killing the thing, but them glancing over and seeing a bunch of birds flock leave, and they think they've just unraveled and they got away, which is actually kind of cool. Much like Carpenter, before Lancaster was selected, almost four others took a stab at the script. And Carpenter described those previous attempts as really just they were trying to make it work, and they were awful scripts. One was actually set in water and had a large whale creature as the thing.
It didn't shapeshift.
In the water?
The whale didn't shapeshift?
No, it wasn't a shapeshifter.
But unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah. There were the endings that me and Ash mentioned earlier that were much different from what ended up happening. Lancaster and Carpenter eventually settled with the more mysterious ending that doesn't resolve the movie whatsoever and leaves that tension kind of brimming.
It should.
And I think that's what makes this movie so captivating is it doesn't close.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's an open-ended question of, like, and we can maybe talk about it at the very end, but no one has an answer if who is who.
Yeah.
I think they're both
good.
I think they're both human.
I think they're both human as well.
Yeah.
And it's a play on paranoia.
I want them not to be human.
Well, I think
they're going to die anyway.
At the end, they...
Scribe would know.
Yeah, I was there. I'm the thing.
Yes.
I think at the end they mentioned, are you the thing? Are you a monster? But then MacReady's like, well... If one of us was, then, like, there's not really anything, like, to hold us back. Or, like, there's no reason to, like, not attack right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think they're
fine. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do at that point? I assume those gentlemen both died in a fire in the ice and all that good stuff.
And fire and ice. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It ties into Game of Thrones. To end John Carpenter's description,
Lancaster,
the guy that's always forgotten. In both of them, John Carpenter has stated that of all of his films, and we're talking about a very reputable horror director, this is his personal favorite.
Me too.
And I, I mean, that's this is definitely my my favorite Carpenter movie.
I like wow,
I think so too.
Halloween.
Yeah, for me.
Like Halloween's good.
Halloween's okay to this.
Oh shit, man! To me, Halloween didn't have.
Like, I know.
She fucking fought him off with a fucking coat hanger. Like what? Where's Halloween, the gore? Where's the gore?
In yeah. the season of Halloween, with no blood and what it did is
and no
masterful.
Halloween decorations. Fucking bizarre.
Masterful.
Plot hole.
Do you know that what a pumpkin weird. Looks like?
That was it. But nothing on the street
Costumes?
Had any. We don't need to get into
we don't
this.
Need to
Halloween
into this.
Is my favorite over mm. this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like. Significantly
you can
more.
Have that. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, you know,
they each their own. Yeah.
They're both great though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was a possibility this movie almost wasn't going to get made. On the bus trip from the airport to the filming location in Canada, all of the cast was on the bus except Clark, the dog guy. And while they were driving on a very narrow cliff, one of the tires popped and went off the road.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they said like there was literally like nothing under the tire. That's... like it was just hanging off. And
terrifying.
They had to like, yeah, they had to like slowly, they said like Kurt Russell in like true MacReady fashion was like, okay, everybody down on the floor and like crawl to the exit one by one. So like the weight's not shifting too fast. I'm like, fuck yeah, MacReady.
That sounds like Kurt Russell yeah. in character.
That movie would not have been as good with still just the dog guy.
Still had a cowboy exactly. hat and a flamethrower on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I saw a interview with him and he was like, it would have just been like Clark and the dogs in the film. Kurt Russell, I want to tell you this. This is the most important fact to me about the movie. It took him 1 year to grow out his hair and beard.
Wow.
One yeah. year
Dedication.
Only?
Yeah, just 1 year.
Wow, that's impressive. For his collagen peptides must be out of the roof.
They must be.
Yeah.
That is the most beautiful head of hair I've ever seen.
Very pretty.
Kevin Kline, Nick Nolte, Harrison Ford, and Clint Eastwood were all considered to play the role of MacReady.
Ooh.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I don't think I'd like
I don't know either.
I don't think I'd like that more.
I can't see any of them playing now.
No, not at all.
He just does it too well. He's really got the look down. I mean, I guess because I love him as the character. It's
I
just
know,
hard
he's
to see
perfect.
Some of so.
And also, I feel like because he was a relatively, not unknown, but a new commodity to Hollywood, he had a much easier time shape-shifting into the role.
Shape-shifting. Like that.
Whereas maybe some of the other people had already been set in these, you know, like Clint Eastwood
Hypecast
was a fucking
roles,
Westerner, like a Western star.
To me, his name is too big. I'm like, you can't put Clint Eastwood in this. Come on now. One day on filming the flamethrower scene, Russell went to Carpenter with his face covered in bandages and claimed that he got his face burned.
Oh, ooh. My God.
So,
pranked.
I know. Isn't that cute?
There's a camera right over there, Carpenter. We got you.
That would be so scary to think like you just like ruined the face of the most beautiful specimen that's ever walked the planet.
How did he handle it? Was he upset? I mean,
punched him in the face.
Yeah.
Punched him in the face, probably. You're right.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
But Russell got his payback partly in a scene where he throws dynamite at Palmer. His reaction to the blast is genuine in that he was not expecting the explosion to be as big as it was and was blown backward.
Yeah.
So that's what you get. That's funny. So one really weird cast secret of why Windows is named Windows, Thomas G. Waits, who played that character, allegedly came to his audition wearing sunglasses and said, "I want everyone to call me Windows from now on."
What a weirdo.
That for some reason, Carpenter
agreed. How did he agree to that? How are you going to like tell Carpenter what to do?
It's a secret. Nobody knows why.
Carpenter wasn't Carpenter back then.
This is true.
You think he was like coked out?
Probably.
Going
probably
in with
no.
like fucking sunglasses on. And
I don't know.
Actually, Windows, yeah.
Yeah.
Windows, absolutely.
Yeah. He was adorable. I liked him.
I thought he was so cute.
Yeah.
Curly hair.
There was a Windows and there was a MacReady, so Windows Mac. And Mac before the companies were producing Windows or Macintosh.
So this movie is the inspiration
for
Mac and Windows.
And Windows.
And the thing is Linux.
Right.
It's a computer joke.
Hey.
There you go, guys.
I didn't get it, but I laughed anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget to mention the all-star Jed, the half Malamute, half wolf that played the Norwegian dog
at
the very beginning.
Beautiful.
He was great.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Love. And everybody gave him such high praise, said he was the goodest boy.
He is the goodest boy.
He does look like the goodest boy. But they also said he was creepy as shit and a little bit intimidating. Apparently he did not like Kurt Russell, who's a big animal guy,
that's
but
so
he did.
Funny.
He was not about
that. Makes me
Kurt
wonder
Russell.
About Kurt Russell.
That's the thing, yeah.
Maybe he's
what
a PETA.
The dog know?
It's like if a dog doesn't like you, there's something going on here.
Dog? But they also said
your
the wolf was
off, man.
He just they said the dog was just like very weary of like everybody. They're like they made everybody like hand him treats
he's
and like
half wolf.
Yeah, it's scary. They're like, he doesn't bark, so when he got mad at you, he would just like,
oh, fuck,
stare
that
at you.
Oh, I that's hate, so dangerous.
I hate that shit. I hate that shit. That's
Maria,
so scary.
After watching this movie, wanted or started looking at getting like a Norwegian Inuit dog.
Mm-mm.
I mean, was like, those look cool as fuck. Yeah, but like, those are pack dogs.
Yeah, cool, cool. You gonna run that dog every day?
Exactly. Yeah. The dog would need way crazy. Too much mental stimulation
for me in your house.
I also really want to quickly mention from our, we've done this thing episode once before. I remember Wilford Brimley, you know, the guy that plays the guy that gets has the
put
noose.
Put in the corner.
Oh, Blair.
Blair. And ends up actually being the monster alien host, if you want to call him that, at the end. He plays the dude in the commercial that's a diabetes.
That's the same guy?
That's the same guy. Like 20 years later.
That's wild to me.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
His acting didn't get better.
Didn't get worse.
I love that scene though, where he like grabs homeboy's face
through
and
his
shoves
face,
his fucking hand against it, and then he's just dragging him
by his face. Yeah. You can see like the stretch of it.
Ooh, I loved it.
That's some strength.
And it was so creepy because it's just like you're in an alley or like
it's
doorway.
So slow,
it's just walking by. No big fucking deal.
It's like some Matrix shit, like when his mouth gets sealed up and all that.
Ugh, we've got to get into the special effects.
Well, yeah, please. I mean, a lot of that pulling of the skin is due to the immense practical special effects on the side. And I think this movie, I want to say 60-70% of why it was so good is because
absolutely.
Of what they did with special effects.
If they didn't have Rob Bottin,
I would
not be interested.
At the legend, maybe only second to Tom Savini. Rob Bottin.
Rick Baker, Stan Winston.
Rick Baker's up there. Stan Winston's definitely up there. Stan Winston, we'll come back in a second.
Yeah.
We'll mention him. Rob Bottin worked on Star Wars before this movie.
Okay.
RoboCop, Total Recall, which has some really cool face-melting scenes, remember, when the oxygen's taken out of the whatever bar they're in. And actually got his last credit being attributed to Game of Thrones. So he's still doing stuff.
On the game, baby.
What did he do?
I don't know.
It
was an episode in a season. I don't remember it exactly. To get us started in the right context of the film's reliance on special effects, of the $15 million budget for this movie, which we'll get into in a moment, around $1.5 million was spent on creature effects, chemicals, rubber, mechanical parts. So for quick math, that's nearly 10% of the budget was just on special effects.
Good.
I think shows...
That's how all horror movies should be.
God, to me, it's like it seems like it'd be more than that.
That's what
it's
I
not more.
It should be way more.
Because now you have...
how much it is.
Like, I mean, they're so creative, though. Yeah.
But that was practical effects back then. So maybe he was like very good with a bargain for his buck.
Yeah.
But even back then, he had a budget that was bigger than John Carpenter's Halloween movie in full.
Ugh, that's
which
wild.
Is interesting
fucking
to think about. So easy to say, they needed someone that he could work with the money... And lucky for Carpenter, he had worked with Bottin on The Fog that he had released in 1980.
Still haven't seen it. We need to watch that.
We do need to watch it.
Me neither.
But he invited him on to special effects monster design. To add to that, the script initially called for the alien to not be featured heavily in the movie, but to remain unseen throughout.
That would have been so boring.
Yeah. It would. That this movie would have sucked if it didn't.
But Bottin changed Carpenter's mind once he showed him some monster designs and like kind of started walking him through what he wanted to do with special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Bottin also convinced Carpenter to make the alien a shapeshifter. Whereas the original design had a concrete idea of what the alien would always look like, which is interesting to think about.
That is awesome. What a great idea.
Yeah.
And to piggyback off of that, Bottin explained to Carpenter that the alien had been all around the galaxy already in his mind. And because he had been around the galaxy, that's why he was able to come up with these crazy creatures with like spider legs that were bigger than spiders
and
mouths that had giant mandibles and stuff. Is because he had been to places other than Earth. And that's why he was able to like come up with these weird illustrations of what it had mimicked in the past.
Love it.
How many times do you think he's done acid, that guy?
That guy?
A lot. If you look at his interviews, like he just seems like the coolest fucking dude. He's a happy motherfucker.
He only gets so much cooler. This quote from Carpenter lays out, I think, why he gave Bottin so much freedom. And he said, "What I didn't want to end up with in this movie was a guy in a suit. I grew up as a kid watching sci-fi monster movies, and it was always a guy in the suit." So yeah, he didn't get this at all.
Like the end of Alien.
The end of Alien. But I mean, even like most horror movies of that time, like you didn't have like this crazy shape-shifting creature that didn't have an actual form. And it all leads up to this being viewed in the special effects community as a benchmark in the field of special makeup effects and practical monster design.
Yeah.
Like, this is the movie for practical effects.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, for sure.
And before the design ever even began, Bottin was pushing hard to be allowed to manage the design team And he was like, yo, dog, I also want to play Windows. The character that would be Windows.
That's too much.
I had that he wanted to be Palmer.
I'm getting confused. So he wanted to be Palmer.
Palmer.
Yeah. But John Carpenter was like, nah, dog, you got to do one or the other.
You got a lot of work to do.
One of the other special effects guys said, like, they were so fucking bogged down that he, like, if you fucking make him play this fucking character on top of all the fucking work we're doing, I'm walking off the set.
Well, that's why they brought in Stan Winston and his team.
We'll get to that.
But let's get to it.
Okay, let's get to it. Botine had so much work. He had a crew of 35 artists and technicians at one point on set, which is just ridiculous to think about. And even with all the confidence in him, think about it. He was a 21-year-old.
Whoa.
He was 21?
35 people.
What?
And eventually 50 at the end for one of the scenes. And he was so creative. He would use things like mayonnaise, cream corn, microwaved bubblegum, KY jelly, just to create blood and guts. Like,
that's
he had such an innovative
mind. What a cool 21-year-old.
I know.
Damn.
It's the acid.
What was I doing at 21? Not that.
Not shit.
Acid maybe, but not getting results from it.
No.
So this took a very large toll on Botine's health, which is talked about a lot when we talk about The Thing and the effects. He was a perfectionist. He wanted to be involved in everything. He apparently slept in the studio for over a year and didn't leave while he was working on this and slept in a locker room and claimed to have never taken off. And guess what? When you do stupid stuff like that, you win stupid prizes. He was hospitalized towards the end of production with exhaustion, double pneumonia, and a bleeding ulcer in his stomach.
Oh my God.
At 21. At 21, this dude's dead.
In L.A. Like, it wasn't cold outside.
Yeah.
That's
where
crazy.
He was. Lucky enough, like Ash was mentioning, he had hired on Stan Winston as kind of like an assistant manager to kind of help with everything. Stan Winston was very knowledgeable in special effects, and it paid off because Stan Winston came in and helped finish out the last filmed special effects scene of the movie, which was the dog.
Yeah, the dog scene was fucking dope.
It was, I think it was filmed last as far as special effects go.
Basically, Steve Winston walks in and he like uses his hand as like a puppet to be like the dog.
Well, it wasn't exactly him. They built it around someone else.
Right, but they're like, let's start it from here. And then they built this puppet from his like, they built the monster off of like a hand moving back and forth.
A hand and a head.
So if you like watch the movie and you can go back and see like, yeah, I could see how that would start from like an image of like somebody like moving their hand back and forth.
I can think of exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying.
It's a fucking puppet.
The person in that suit had to wear a helmet because it was constantly leaking like slime. Probably mayonnaise and all this gross stuff. And there was squib blasts, like gunshots going out the whole time. Also, the dog's eyes and legs were moved by a radio controller.
Cool.
And the creepy tentacle effect where there's tentacles coming out of it was actually the guy in the suit was pulling these tentacles in their reverse. Which made it look really unnatural.
It looked really weird.
Yeah.
It looked scary and weird. It
looked very stop motion-y.
Yeah. It kind of did, yeah.
Like clay, but it wasn't. You can go ahead.
I was going to say, do you remember the scene where it looks like a flower is opening up?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is actually a bunch of dog tongues with canine teeth. So if you go back and watch the movie, it's not an actual flower. It's a bunch of like dog tongues. It again looks like a kaleidoscope acid trip where they just like put all these like dog tongue. I don't know how they did it, but he was like, Botine was like, it's a bunch of dog tongues and canine teeth. It's
that's
not
crazy.
A fucking flower.
Definitely, when I saw that watching it again, I was like, that's like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
The fucking Demogorgon.
So look at it again and you'll see it's fucking the dog.
And to credit Stan Winston and what he ended up going on to do, because we kind of passed over that and I forgot, he did a little thing called Jurassic Park.
Right.
No big deal.
Gremlins. Wrong Turn. All of those like miscreant incestual creatures we covered about 3 weeks ago. To move on to another scene, and again, we're not going to be able to cover all the special effects because we don't have enough time in the world, and there's so many things in this movie. There is an awesome YouTube documentary called The Making of the Thing.
Yes, watch it. It's so good.
That's how we know Botine is not pronounced Botten, which we've been calling him for the last 2 years.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it's good thing we fixed it before we wrapped it up.
We wrapped it up.
I had to rewind it like four times. I was like, they're saying Botine, and it's not a joke.
Yeah.
It's Botine.
I'm not going to lie. I don't like it.
I don't either. It feels fucking country.
Unnatural.
But to do another awesome scene, remember the chest chomp scene where the chest opens up?
Oh, it's so good. What is it? His hands? Arms?
It's both of his hands up to the arm, like get chopped off. Guess how they did that? They hired a double amputee and attached some squibs and tendrils to his nubs, and he put it in there, and then there was a real jaw device that closed and basically tore off the squib and the thing, and then he like did like this with the nubs in the air, and it looked like it actually came out, which is so ingenious.
That's ingenious.
And the head that pops off of that same body was controlled by a fire effect that shot off a puppet. And it eventually caught on fire, not hurting anyone.
And all that green shit that was like coming out of his neck. They're like, how do we? Like that. Basically, they use like bubble gum and like melted plastic to make it look like
stretched.
Yeah,
it looks great.
It looks so awesome. Good. So cool.
And for the final monster scene, you know, the big bad doggy sitting there in the middle, like Blair guy. They worked tirelessly with stop motion and miniatures for a lot of days to make this huge thing that Carpenter could film at scale and use.
Yeah.
And he saw it and he hated it. And
no.
Like, yeah, they made this beautiful miniature set.
And miniatures used to be really popular, especially in the 70s. Like, I Star mean, Wars is all miniatures as far as, like, the spaceships and shit.
And then Hereditary brought it back.
Yeah, brought it back a little bit. But miniatures weren't unusual. So, to make that scene, they actually made a huge fucking alien puppet that, I shit you not, took 50 people to control.
Jeez. What? 50 people?
So not the 35 he had. I'm in my mind, it's Rob Bottin, like, grabbing, like, the guy from the side, his friend
the
from art school.
Over again.
Yeah, basically, because, like, it takes 50 people, and all of a sudden, like,
they just,
this
like, smear
walking.
It with KY jelly, just, like, God. Lather
basically,
it up.
Wow.
KY jelly was a hit.
Yeah.
It still is, y'all.
Hey.
Scrub a Satan.
Up top.
Up top. High five.
Up top.
And aside, to close all the special effects, I think the reason they also looked really well is Dean Cundey, which was a cinematographer with John Carpenter throughout his career in the beginning, worked extremely close with Rob Bottin to provide the best lighting for every monster and special effects sequence.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, when you have people with that cohesion working together with a common goal and they're all superstars in their own right with a budget, I just think it's a perfect combination of a winning team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A home run.
The fact that Bottin and Winston were on the same movie, I'm like...
And Carpenter is sitting there in the foreground, and then you have Kurt Russell combing his hair.
All-star cast.
God damn, Kurt Russell. What a babe.
I don't know. I mean, this cost a lot of money, obviously.
It did. As you said, it cost $15 million.
Which is like chump change now.
Now.
I mean, now, yeah. Then. But then, like, the budget for...
horror movie, too.
So think about this. Friday the 13th, which came out in 80, and then Halloween in 78 combined were only $1 million to make.
That's
what the
crazy.
Fuck?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Okay, sorry. Unfortunately, it only grossed $13 million, though.
Well, in the box office, right?
In the box office, yes. So some reasoning for this may be that it was released in June when it's clearly a winter movie or should have come out in like fall or winter.
Yeah. What the fuck were they thinking?
June?
Yeah. I don't know why they did that.
Stupid. I can't vibe with this movie. Like,
no.
You go in the hot...
Like,
theater.
What are you, like, wanting colder weather?
Yeah,
like,
it's garbage.
I think it got pushed back for some other stupid-ass movie they were making.
Probably.
Also, the cast thinks that marketing just fell short here.
Yeah.
And then its failure at the box office is also blamed on the fact that Steven Spielberg's E.T. was released just 2 weeks earlier.
Oh, that was dumb.
And it had just a much more cheery view of aliens on Earth, and then you have this, which is, you know, horrifying.
So, what if you got, what
That's
if you
so
win the
dumb.
Wrong one?
Yeah, exactly.
They should have
waited.
Different
movies.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad... circumstances.
Either way, the movie ended up being a classic, but certainly not at the beginning. And initially, Universal only wanted to give them $200,000 for creature effects, since that was the most they'd ever spent on a monster movie.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And then production was like, no, we need a lot more than that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think if, like, and I remember reading that the storyboards that were drawn for this movie by people we haven't mentioned, these two artists, were so fucking good that that's what they use on leverage to get a lot more money for monster design.
Heck yeah.
And some of the scenes were taken from exactly these storyboards where they're lined up and you can see their exact same thing.
Damn.
It was drawn so well.
That's
which is cool.
Storyboarding is a serious
thing.
Yes, it
like,
is.
That's crazy.
It's a very important.
Yeah,
to,
which
like,
you don't
map it out.
Think about that whatsoever.
Well,
no, neither
I've
do like producers and people that.
That
are paying for movies, but you're like, no, like, I have this vision. Look at it. Here it is right here. This is what I want to make.
It's
and
like
then,
a comic
awesome.
Strip.
Exactly,
right?
Pretty much.
Or like a log
what
frame.
A cool job.
Or a system before it's even like actually functioning.
Is the right. director the one that does the storyboard?
No.
Or do they tell people their thoughts and then somebody else
well,
does it?
He might tell people thoughts, but he's not the one drawing it. The artist.
Yeah. What if you can only do stick figures?
Fair.
Probably the writer, too, might be involved.
True. Wait, is it actually drawing, or did I just make that up?
It's drawing.
No, it is drawing.
Okay. All right. So, Zach, you said Rob Bottin, that he was hospitalized, and you said, you know, yes. Hot out in L.A.
Yeah.
Well, it was cold on set. Where they shot the sound stages, they kept it at 40 degrees on set all
How?
Day.
Ew. Oh, my God.
That AC bill, man.
Yeah.
Ew.
Damn.
In yeah. L.A.?
In L.A., they said at times it was like 100 degrees outside, and it'd be they'd keep it 40 in there.
What the fuck?
Because they wanted to give it that kind of vibe, you know, on,
so
at
wait,
the inside.
How much did that cost?
I don't know.
No wonder he got double pneumonia.
Yeah.
Like inside, outside, that temperature going inside out. Because you know they probably smoked.
Oh, absolutely.
Outside.
And he probably wasn't getting any like vitamin D. He wasn't going outside.
Yeah, ugh. Living in the same Poor building guy. As working in. He's never going outside.
Oh,
yeah.
Oof. These horror nerds, you know, mess on life.
Just shit. Paid off.
In the dark.
Yeah.
And then after they finished filming on the sound stages, they had to wait a few months for the snow to build up. But they eventually made their way to British Columbia. Most of the filming up there was in a town named Stewart, which is known as being the snowfall capital of North America. The temperature was between 0 and negative 15 degrees
no
during
thanks.
Filming. It cost $75,000 just to keep the cast and crew warm.
No thanks.
Wow.
This movie definitely was uncomfortable. I was like, I'm fucking cold for you.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
When like the beginning where the, what is it, like the captain or leader of the squad breaks the window with the gun to shoot at the Norwegians?
Yeah.
I got it. Nailed it. Like, nice. Wow, oh God, you gotta be so cold. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know. I thought about the same thing. I'm like, you idiot.
The
You're
window?
Gonna be freezing
what,
now.
They're gonna get like a window guy to come out here?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
How are you gonna patch that up?
Ew. All right, guys, so as Macias kind of mentioned, the initial reception of this movie was absolutely horrible. The critics hated it. They didn't like how anti-authoritarian it seemed. The character development, they thought it was shit. The suicidal tones towards the end, they thought was horrible.
Come Who cares?
On. Yeah, like,
it's
I'm
a real
sorry.
Movie. Have you ever seen Apocalypse Now? Like,
exactly.
Came out before this?
Yeah.
They also hated how there was no sense of camaraderie among the team. And which basically means they missed the fucking point of this movie.
Yeah, they want like a buddy cop film.
Yeah, this movie encapsulates the Cold War, that fear, like
isolation,
that is
horror.
Absolutely, what this movie is about.
Even
stupid.
Race relations to a certain extent.
Yes,
true.
Yeah. I went back in time and got some OG publications after this movie came back.
Let's shame them.
All right, you ready? So June 1982 Newsweek said, there's a big difference between shock effects and suspense and in sacrificing everything at the altar of gore. Carpenter sabotages the drama. The thing is so single-mindedly determined to keep you awake that it almost puts you to sleep.
That's Fuck the dumbest you. Shit I've ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah.
Like, they're just scaredy cats.
Yeah, they're just probably read a review and went with the crowd sheep.
This movie's so scary, it's not even scary. You're just saying words.
Yeah.
That means nothing.
You just like to hear yourself talk.
Yeah.
Ebert gave it a 2.5 out of 4 stars.
Yeah.
In 82, he said, the thing is basically then just a geek show, a gross out movie in which teenagers can dare one another to watch the screen. There's nothing wrong with that. I like being scared, and I was scared by many scenes in the thing. But it seems clear that Carpenter made his choice early on to concentrate on special effects and the technology and to allow the story and people to become secondary.
I disagree. I think the best, like one of the best, not the best part of it, best part of it is effects. But yeah, that sense of paranoia and, you know, fearfulness, you can't trust anybody.
Exactly.
I think without the special effects, you don't have that fear of what, you know, what is the other person? Because you need to see what you're scared of
Absolutely.
To know, you know, have the fear of what could be hiding.
Right.
Yeah. But the one thing the critics upon initial release couldn't deny was the fantastic technical aspects of this film and genius that is Rob Bottin. I mean, regardless of how disgusting the effects were, and also the score. People loved the
so
score.
Good.
They couldn't hate that either.
Chilling.
But fast forward to today, we've got an 84% on the tomato meter and a 92% audience score. So normal, everyday horror folks love this movie. And I have a couple words from a couple of them, which I think might help.
Yeah.
So this movie is suspenseful, sad, and creepy all at the same time. Also, it's a rare breed of horror movies where the characters' thoughts and actions make sense. I agree with that.
Yeah. Nobody's acting like a dummy.
No, they're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And then here's, this one is my fucking favorite. The critics hated this film when it came out. I, like many others, rented it on video and loved it. The critics are now playing catch up and calling it John Carpenter's best film. Something we, the audience, always knew. Like, the critics were posers.
Fucking posers trying to catch up. Oh, actually, it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Where were you?
Yeah. Where were you 20 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, we're watching E.T.
Yeah. Well, like, what the... I don't even
E.T.'s not that
it.
Good. I'll say it.
Oh, I love that movie.
Hot take.
Hot take.
That was a
it's
hot
not
take.
That good.
Drew
it's
Barrymore
just different.
Sucked.
I didn't even know she was in it.
Hey.
Yeah. You wouldn't know she was in it. She didn't look anything like what she does now.
I mean,
yeah,
she,
like
was
she was
a child
or something.
Well, she wasn't playing like she does now. I think she's gotten a lot better since.
I think she was like 10.
She's gotten a lot better since.
This was, okay, it was fair. Pre-cocaine.
Yeah.
No, actually, she's probably in the middle of cocaine.
That's
no, I
that's
think she's too young for that.
No, she literally
she started at 12.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying, but only she was 12 in E.T.
I don't think
that's very
she
sad.
Was like 5 or 6.
Anyway, The Thing is a cult classic. Though it may have taken a while to become a success, it is literally, I'm going to say that like, what's his name from Parks and Rec?
Say it.
It is literally
there you go.
Noted as one of the top horror movies ever. Check any fucking list, people. Okay?
If it's a list and it's not top five,
it's
not
a good
the greatest
list.
List.
No. Right. Yeah. So remember that when you're looking for good horror movies, if The Thing is not on there, it's not good. It was also a major influence from some of our favorite directors, Guillermo del Toro, J.J. Abrams, Tarantino, and David Mitchell, the guy that did It Follows.
Yeah.
I love It Follows so much.
So, fuck you guys. This movie is awesome. And don't listen to the critics every time because same with us. The critics loved it, but it's not that good.
Horror fans, not so much.
No. True horror fans.
Just have an independent mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Do your research.
Yeah.
But I will stop talking after I tell you guys the tagline.
Were there taglines?
Here we go. I miss taglines. Yes. I forgot that was a thing.
Are you ready?
Let's do
it. Okay. Anytime. Anywhere. Anyone. I don't know why my voice
my
gets like
says.
This, but nice.
Thank you.
That was good. Okay. Man is the warmest place to hide.
That's what good. My
that was a good one.
I like that one a lot.
Again.
I'm going to keep doing that one.
Look closely at your neighbor. Trust no one. They might be the thing.
No, I'll pass on that one.
That sounds like from a 50s movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
I kind of like that.
Maybe from the old one.
Like a little old school
maybe
classic.
Maybe like a classic poster.
The ultimate in alien terror.
That's dumb.
Yeah. So I think we all agree, men is the warmest place to hide.
For sure.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
I think that one kind of knocks
me up on Tinder.
Out of the park. That's actually a really good Tinder bio.
Yeah.
Yeah, hiding me, girl. Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Yeah, I am
I mean,
the underscore thing.
I'm the warmest place to hide.
And if anybody actually gets it, you know they're good people.
Yeah.
There you go. No one's going to get that. No one knows taglines
but
us.
But if they do,
that means that they're fans of the podcast and then they're good people.
Yes.
That might be the love of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be putting that on my Tinder profile.
Well,
that's fine. I think you should just try it for a day and see what happens.
Sure. And then I have my coworkers be like, I saw you on Tinder. Interesting bio.
Let's take a quick break and get back to you guys with the ratings. Okay, everyone, it's a bittersweet time to get into our last ratings, but some of our most important ratings with a movie that we've waited to do for a very long time. Let's get started off with one of our 11 horror variables. We're going to start off with jump scares, and we have Scarred by Satan's ratings with us today, so we are rating on a 4-pack.
Yeah.
Everyone's hands in the air say 4 right now.
4-4-4.
And we're going to get a bad score to start off with. Jump scare, we have 17.5%. I'm going to agree with that.
Yeah, it's not jumpy.
No,
there's a couple jumps.
But Maria,
the chess scene was jumpy to me.
Watched it very flawlessly, and that's usually my indicator that it's not a very jump scary movie, if you will.
Yeah.
For soundtrack,
Ennio Morricone.
He did a great job.
What the fuck did you just say?
Emilio. I was thinking Emilio Estevez.
Ennio.
But Ennio Morricone. Maybe John Carpenter didn't have to have much to do with this soundtrack. Maybe he did. I just know that anything of all the Carpenter has a great soundtrack. That's just the end of the story.
He's also an Oscar-winning composer.
Well, there you go. So check him on Spotify. We gave him a 65%
This
movie.
That's good.
I feel like he could have done a little bit better.
Probably. Says the person that rated it pretty low.
What?
You're talking to the census taker over here.
Okay.
I have the abacus in my hand.
You can have it kiss my ass.
Sorry, I like that.
Thank you.
The thing I've been missing, the quick wit.
Mm-hmm.
For gore, we all agreed this is a pretty fucking gory movie.
Yeah.
80%.
Getting wet.
Great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Wet and
bloody.
I mean,
I was going to say pussy, but that wouldn't come out good.
No, that might be. You might want to reserve that for the horny section.
There you go.
But yeah, 80%. Really gory movie. Not in like a gross way. Not in a brain
gross way.
I hope they teach this in fucking film school.
I think they're already 5 steps ahead of you.
They have to.
I'm sure they do.
And brain dead only learned what they did from this shit.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Shock value, we gave it a 57.5%. And, you know, I think we're across the board because it's hard to interpret what shock value is really rating.
Yeah.
I usually think if it's something that would shock people at the time, which I think it did.
Yes.
But you could say if now it was shocking. But overall, I don't think it's like a terribly shocking movie.
I think even now it's still shocking with the transformation.
Yeah. I think the special effects. I mean, it's not shocking in a sense of like Cannibal Holocaust shocking.
Yeah.
But it's, those, you're just not expecting that.
Think about all the people that were like just on a high from going to see E.T. and then they go and watch this movie. And
I still think people would have accidentally seen this movie and thought it was E.T. Because you get the alien scene right in the beginning.
Yeah.
The UFOs are like, oh, this
fuck
is it.
What the fuck is this?
In the right place.
Yeah. Nope.
Or you skip into one movie and then you get a free pass in the other.
And
then you're watching E.T. and then The Thing.
Yeah.
Two different movies.
Same creature.
Same creature, two different movies,
years
apart. For suspense, we gave this a 67%. I think that's a fair rating. It's a fair. It's not the most suspenseful, but it's up there.
Yeah, I still think so.
I thought it was serum test. Suspenseful.
The serum test where you don't know who.
I love that.
Scary.
That was a great scene.
Yeah.
Especially when the blood jumps out.
Yeah.
That scared me.
Like,
His head pops like out of his skull.
Yes.
I mean, the scary part, too, is that they're, like, tied up right next to it, too. Like, get us out of here!
Yeah.
It's like, get me off this goddamn couch.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
For monster slash killer appeal, we gave this 100%.
Flawless victory! Like
yes!
Yeah. I mean,
way to go, The Thing. You're ugly as fuck.
I think this might be the only, like, villain monster we've given a 100 to.
Never.
It's great.
Yeah.
Like, you can't beat it. It's actually tangible.
For some high fives.
Yeah. High fives across the table.
50 people in one monster costume? Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. For special effects, we gave this a 100%.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
We thought this movie was wonderful. We talked about it. We probably spent the most amount of time talking about practical effects made this movie. It is this movie.
And it wasn't even enough. There's so much more.
There's so much more.
If there was an option in this rating system that we've created to give it a 12, I would have given it 12.
Yeah.
But whatever. For horniness, we gave it 25%. I want to say that Kurt Russell's hair.
Yeah.
Is the only reason
I was not
what I get
going.
It.
I was it, that I brought y'all down. I'm so sorry.
What?
I
Kurt
was
Russell
not,
don't do anything for you?
Not as much as those monsters don't do things for me. it very
Kurt Russell took away all the pain.
I mean, his hair is just so glorious.
I just want to.
It might have been more scary if we didn't have his face to look back at.
I know.
Yeah.
He's just so beautiful.
If it was Clint Eastwood mean mugging the whole time.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Yucky.
No.
Go back to Gran Torino, man. You know what I'm saying?
That was a good movie.
Go back
so
to being a racist asshole.
He uses so many racist terms in that movie, but yet everyone still thinks it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's like a very confusing film.
He directed and wrote it. It's like, so you meant to say that word.
But it's like a film about not being a racist.
It's a film about a racist becoming a non-racist based on seeing people that he can relate to for the first time.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's not a racist. It means he can see empathy as a human.
If I was a racist, I would make a movie about how I'm not a racist and I would star in it.
But you have to agree. It was kind of a conflicting movie, right?
I
feel conflicted?
I liked the movie. Personally. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying we're not going to spend the last 20 minutes this fucking podcast talking about Gran Torino.
Get out of here, Clint.
Let's just get out of here. For acting, we gave this an 85%.
Yes.
Okay,
very strong acting movie.
So fuck you, critics from the 80s. Like, you don't know.
But I also think it worked because there was no star in it other than Kurt Russell, who was relatively a star. No one else in the movie was, like, that renowned. They were all just really good method
actors.
But he
wasn't really either, was he?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like, he just did Escape from New York.
Yeah.
You didn't need, like, the Keanu Reeves in it.
I do like that.
About these kind of movies where you don't have big names because you're thinking of the big name like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
You're just, that's that. I don't know if this man is another character in another movie. That's just,
you're not thinking of
him
as like Captain Ron.
That's kind of like, yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I felt about like It Follows.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't anybody in it. I don't know you.
Terrifier. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Terrifier. I was about
to say, always bringing it back.
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Paranormal Activity. That's because that really happened. Those are real people.
Yeah. I mean,
that is a real story.
It's a real story.
That is document.
Blair Witch Project.
Blair Witch Project.
Documentary.
But 85% for acting, one of the higher ones. And for the plot, we gave this a whopping 82%.
Yeah.
I think it was a great plot.
Yeah.
There's a few holes. I think one of the characters...
Like them setting everything on fire.
That, and I think...
Not burning down.
I'm sorry. If you had a flame torch thing, would you not just start blowing shit
up?
What
if I did that in your house?
I'd be like, let's see what happens.
What if there's an alien in your house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there's an alien, fucking light
We're
that shit up.
We're all going up in flames.
That's fine.
Yeah. That's how that movie went, yeah.
But they were goners
they
anyway.
They had to get dynamite to do the explosion. They were just burning shit all over the place.
I love how they just would like, light it. Throw it in the room. Light it.
Yeah.
Throw it in the
they
room.
They had a system.
Oh,
down.
Yeah. We'll get to the explosions part.
Which is pretty funny.
I almost lost count.
But yeah, so let's jump into the metrics really quick before we get into personal scores. We have 12 kills for this movie.
Good number.
Basically
that's a lot of death.
14 kills, but you don't know at the end if Childs. MacReady actually died.
Time out. Are you counting the dogs?
I didn't count the dogs because I couldn't tell how many of them there were in total.
Not enough.
It was litter.
I know they all died, but I don't know how many there were to begin with.
So 12 plus.
That was the worst.
I hated that. The one getting like choked out. That was rough for me.
12 plus.
I was
plus
holding
dogs.
And the acid on that one dog.
Yeah.
Like melted it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Sad.
Worse than the humans.
Can we talk about the dogs for 2 seconds?
Sure.
I know we're in the middle of school.
No, you're good.
Okay. So I'm sorry. This is my favorite scene of the movie just because of how insane it was to me. You're an alien. Hypothetically, you're an alien. You're being chased down. You've been taken in. You've infiltrated this human base, right? You're a dog, and you're just walking around doing, just a dog hanging out.
Dog stuff.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, time to put you in the kennel. And you're like, oh, shit, I got to hang out with some other dogs. And he opens the door. Maybe it's just me because I'm like watching this dog. Like, I know this dog's an alien now. Like, let me just pay attention to him. He opens the door and the dog's like, oh, okay, let me just... Just gonna walk in this room
very
and
slowly.
Act like a dog, and he's like looking around at the other dog, and he lays down and just stares at the fucking wall like a fucking alien. That shit creeped me the fuck out. Like, I did not think about
that
the
not
first
even
time.
Playing a dog game.
It's literally this dog is acting so well that I'm getting creeped out by this dog acting like, bro, are you good? Holy shit, you're
the
creepy,
dog is
man.
Damn good. I mean, my dog does that a lot.
I was gonna say, I feel like Cyrus is an alien.
Yeah,
now.
I'll look over sometimes, and she'll just be like, just sitting up, staring like with 2 inches from the wall.
You know what we call that in my house? Transcending. Transcending.
Yeah. Very strange, but that
we
dog
need to
was
do
a
blood
great
tests on them.
That dog was great.
Check them out, make sure they're okay.
Who knows?
Oh,
why
God.
Wouldn't they attacked yet?
I'm scared.
Well, they died in this movie,
did
so
they?
It's 12 kills plus dogs.
Yes,
okay. Which we'll do. Remember, sex scenes. Unfortunately, our last episode with horny horror hour in the title.
Kurt Russell in my head sex scene. Woo-wee.
Yeah, Kurt there Russell in my head sex scene as well. So, but it's zero in the movie. For number of jump scares, we had one jump scare, and I want to say that's. It could be different for all of us interpreting it, but I think that was when the blood jumps out.
The blood jumps out
for me
and
it
the arm
a different
snatch.
One.
Oh, I was thinking like the chest scene.
The chest scene is a good
okay,
one.
So all of us have had. What was yours, Macias?
I can't remember what it was, but it's something where like the music kicked in. I don't remember.
Okay.
And it was the music. It wasn't really that scary.
Mine was
visually.
The chest pumping and his hands go into the chest.
Yeah,
that was chest pumping and the blood pop was for me.
Yeah,
the blood too.
Yeah. That was pretty good. For the explosions, which we're about to talk about, we had 10 explosions.
There was a lot for days.
Yeah. Not for days, but for maybe a day.
Let's picture you guys with the like tally sheet. Like, okay, there's
it
one.
It was me. I rewound it and watched every time there was a boom, boom.
Damn, nice. Girl. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
That's probably like
maybe
one of our biggest.
Yeah. I want to say so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And for a number of monsters, we had one monster technically.
Yeah.
I'm fired at that.
Yeah.
I mean,
whatever.
What are you gonna say?
Whatever.
It's like it's them killing each other, maybe a few other monsters.
Yeah, no, just fucking.
I think
argue.
It was just one. It was just one monster being unlocked. And that's so cool because you are that badass. You don't need multiple of you. You just need one.
One. Yeah.
I just want to argue with you to keep this on longer.
Hey, we're already gonna be pushing a very long episode tonight, which is completely fine. I would like to give a quick thanks to Ms. Cias. We started this metric system about a year ago, and we all were really good about recording everything, and it ended up being just Ms. Cias. We're counting on to do all of
Thank
the counting
you for the metrics,
for the kills, the sex scenes, the jump scares.
Good job, Macias.
Thank you.
I always acted like I was averaging, but it was basically me just taking Macias' score sheet and tallying it all up. So
that's a great.
We wouldn't have any of this data without Macias.
Thank you, Queen.
I was watching when I was watching Game of Thrones later that night. I was
counting
like,
explosions.
No, when the fucking kid was on the wall,
yeah,
and it like started screaming because it was a White Walker. I was like. Jump scare.
Tally it up.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Don't
Yay,
have to think like that.
It's in you forever.
It is, yeah.
That's nice. Wonderful. Okay, so let's move on to personal scores. I'm going to start with Scribe of Satan. You gave this an 80%. What do you think? What are you about the thing?
I
you
love know? This Close movie. Like I said, this is my second time watching it. So the first time I was just scared and not paying attention and like staring at the floor. But now that I have a brain that can understand a movie and a plot, I love it. Especially, this is my kind of horror. The creepy, suspenseful, long drawn out, and also with the mental aspect of, you know, who's the monster, who do I trust?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Probably my favorite scene, again, well, I do like the dog scene, but the most scary scene is when they're tied up and trying to interrogate everyone. That was very, just good film, baby.
Yeah.
Good.
That was good.
That is good film.
Love it.
Ash, I think it was, what, 90%?
95.
95%? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I wasn't going to rate this that high, and then I watched it, like, yesterday. And I was like, what the fuck? Why is this movie so good?
That's exactly what
you
texted
me. You know, I love all the... I love gore, and this movie gave me what I needed.
So much.
It fed me.
Yeah.
And you've got the greats in this movie, man. You got Stan Winston. You got Rob... Botten Botine. And, you know, it just...
John Carpenter.
John Carpenter and fucking Kurt Russell. And it was just lovely. I love this movie. It's got a special place in my heart. I have nothing shitty to say about this movie. It's one of the best. And I will tell everyone I know, this is one of the best. You want to see horror? True. Watch that movie.
I completely agree. So 95% from Ash. Macias, you gave this an 87%. What'd you think?
The more I watch this movie, the more I like it.
Yeah.
Every time I watch it, I find something different or I just like have a new appreciation for the effects or whatever. But I have to say when I first saw this movie when I was younger, I was just like, whatever about it. I just really didn't. I wasn't shocked. I was like, oh, wow, practical effect. I was just like, this looks stupid. This looks fake. But like watching so many horror movies now, I just have so much more of an appreciation for it versus like, because I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't look real, but also just it looks fucking cool.
It looks good,
yeah. It looks really cool.
It's like you didn't have computers. Like, you didn't have, like, systems to do this for you.
Oh, yeah. The thing that they pulled out of, like, the ice to show to everyone and have it, like, the autopsy done on it, that thing looked like a beautiful glazed statue.
Yeah.
What's in my house? That's pretty. It's art.
One of the actors, I was watching an interview with him, and he was talking about, was it Rob Botine? I think it was him he was talking about, but he was like, I hope he goes on to like be a sculptor, or he could have gone on to be like a great sculptor of like the most fucked up things you can imagine.
Yeah. Like Giguere.
Even like the scene where the dude is laying on the table, they were walking on set and they thought the actor was just laying on a table without a shirt on.
Oh.
And they're like, put your fucking shirt on.
Oh, man.
And they're like, no. Cause like, Rob got his like hair patterns correct.
That's just great.
Like down to that detail. Like that is like this is fucking art. Art.
It's great.
I agree. So that was a 87% from Macias. I'll round things off. I gave it 100%. I think this
is
movie,
first for you, or
it might be. I think it's should have went back. I think it is my first, and that's interesting.
Very
that
kind
my last.
On this final episode.
Yeah, I know, right? I think it's the foundation of what good horror should be built on, which is good acting, great suspense, and again, we've pounded anything you can remember from this podcast as practical effects are great.
Yeah.
And CGI just doesn't really match up to the late 70s, early 80s, American Werewolf in London transformations, this kind of shit. This is a movie that makes me love horror, and I can watch it in dark places and it makes me feel better. And movies like that, I think, reserve a very high place. So, yeah, I think this movie, out of all the movies on the podcast, has always been a movie that's kind of re-evolved into my favorite movie once again and again.
It's the movie that makes you want to get a tattoo.
It's a movie
that's
that
kind of a big deal.
May You're... cause me get my first tattoo soon.
Right. Really?
Well, isn't that fun?
Also,
what are you gonna get a tattoo of?
Something from the thing. I'm still figuring it out.
We're still
marinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would like to also kind of commemorate, is that the right word?
Yes. Yes.
This podcast with that tattoo. So yeah, this movie means a lot to me, and it's 100%, probably the only 100% I've done. Which rounds this movie off, do you guys want to hear that, to a 90.5%.
Wow. That's a great score.
Good score.
Probably not the highest percentage we've done, but it's up there probably in the top 10 movies we've
absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely.
As it should be.
Yeah, and definitely one of the better practical effects movies we've ever done.
Ever.
Which is great.
Ever.
Okay, so I have one last score I wanted to give out. I wanted to give 100% rating to everyone that's ever been around this proverbial table. To Spencer back in the day for his hard work with the podcast and his immense knowledge on filmmaking. I don't know if you guys remember Spencer back in the day in film school.
He was talking about Rob way before we were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Who's this Rob dude?
He's talking about lighting and aspect ratios.
Oh,
and, I'm sure he's doing really well right now.
Wide shots.
Text him after this to see how he's doing. To the lovely Scribe of Satan.
It's a pleasure
for
to be here.
Just being awesome and all of the wit and humor and TOIs.
Very witty.
It's a lot easier than it looks.
And I don't know if you guys remember, Scribe of Satan was giving us Quadrant of Inquiries far before he even came on.
Yep. Very true.
Very true.
Big fan from day one.
And bringing all the levity throughout.
Yes.
It's true.
And to marvelously wonderful co-host Ashton Macias.
Yay!
That have been through every episode.
Pretty ladies.
Yeah.
Truly great partners, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you guys. And just a side note. We created this podcast having no experience with any podcasting,
nope.
Which was crazy to think about. Any institutional horror knowledge,
no
film school aside from Spencer when we started. And then after 40 episodes, Spencer did leave. So I'm really proud of what we ended up with as far as the quality you're listening to right now.
Yeah, it's definitely come a long way.
Yeah.
Just like looking a year back.
And it's about 87, 88 episodes now.
Wow.
Another probably 12 on top of that before we even released any episodes.
Yeah.
So we're probably around 100 to 150 hours of horror content that is up. And then if you want to add editing and all that, I don't want to get into it. But
archive it, baby.
We're going to keep it up for a while. I don't know how long, but it'll be up there. I wanted to give a shout out to special guests Ethan, Cecil, Marco, for coming on and spicing things up with us throughout the whole process. They were all great. You can get a lot of good stuff from all of them, as well as Allie and Maria for coming on one episode and being great girlfriend, spouse, guests.
I love you, ladies.
They may not love horror,
but they were
deal
there
with
for
us.
But they love y'all, and that's what's most important.
Yes.
And we love them.
And they came on for, I don't even remember what episode now, as far
Hellraiser.
As Hellraiser. Oh, that was actually kind of a scary movie, too.
That was a great movie to have them on for.
So thank you so much, ladies. And
we love you.
I'm most thankful to all of our listeners. I'm just going to name a few that kind of stick out to us. We have Rye Snai. I'm just going to be honest, man. You were there from the beginning, and you've been the best
Rye
Snai. Horror fan
we
could ask
for. What are we
going
to do without you?
We love Rye Snai.
To Los Man, you've
Los
always
man.
Been so involved as well. To Michael Delaney, Greg, Brandon Funk, Tony, Sailor Taylor.
Sailor Taylor!
I love you, Taylor.
Michelle Tessina.
Yes.
Big Shrimpin.
Big Shrimpin.
I don't even know you. I like that name.
Our Ken Anthony.
Oh, yes.
Congratulations on your wonderful brewery. If you like a good brewery, check out Wild Leaf, the best brewery, new brewery in America.
Sweet
that's right.
plug.
Yeah, sweet plug, plug right there. And really, it's everyone that's listened throughout the years and interacted with us. We truly do love you.
We love your support. Thank you so much.
Further, I fucking love horror, and this podcast has solidified my desire to improve myself, as cheesy as it sounds, just more of a student of horror and to watch as much as I can. And to use this newfound time to keep an eye out for new horror.
Heck yeah.
Fresh directors. And we've already talked between all of us. We want to meet and watch horror movies. I don't know. It's bi-weekly, monthly, whatever.
For sure.
But we want to carve out this time to still spend it on some horror.
For sure.
Like I've said in the last two episodes, we will still have the Instagram up and running to a certain extent. We're not going to be active necessarily with posting things. But if you want to message us, DM us, put cool things on the page, please do.
Send dick pics.
send dick. We never got any dick pics.
No, we didn't.
We've been asking for those.
We've been trying for years.
For 2.5 fucking years.
Yeah. I'll send some.
We're also going to keep the Horny Horror Hour Gmail account up, and it will always stay active, at least on my personal email. Do y'all want to add anything before I close out?
Thank you for editing and being our fearless leader.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Zach. That is definitely the word, fearless leader.
Zach, you are the absolute rock, at least from my point of view.
Yeah.
You kept this together in a very necessarily organized way, which I feel would not have been the case if you were not involved.
No. Yeah, you're the wrangler.
You are the wrangler, and we appreciate you, and we love you, and your fucking knowledge, and your... Oh, I'm getting emotional.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Zach. I want to say thank you to all of you.
Yeah.
I loved coming on this podcast. I was in actual hell when I started this podcast with y'all, and I am in such a better place, mainly because of y'all being there for me and just being a part of the horny family.
Aww.
I'm glad to be here.
Saucy.
I'm glad to be back.
Group hug, guys.
I know.
It's never going to end. It's always there.
Hell,
it's true.
Hell. Yeah. Always there waiting
and
for me.
The horny family.
And the horny family.
Which in the wrong context sounds kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, we went there with the dogs earlier.
We did go there with the dogs.
Back at the dogs, huh?
Back at the dogs. I do want to close out the podcast with one of my favorite quotes from Hellraiser that I think fits the moment, at least for me. No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
Yes.
Beautiful
ending.
Yeah. So goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peace. Bye.